This is Jordan Sekulow. Today on Jay Sekulow Live, a look back on how the U.S. government's relationship with Israel has changed from the Obama administration to the Trump administration.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Hello and welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow, and I want to wish everybody out there listening to this broadcast. I know a lot of you are traveling right now, maybe to a family home to celebrate on Christmas and to be with friends and family as you are driving or traveling. Maybe you've traveled somewhere else, but you're still tuning in through SiriusXM in a rental car or on your car if you made the journey, not by plane, but by car as well, or through a local radio broadcast as well if you've stayed home for the holidays, or maybe found us through another channel as you were traveling. I want to wish everybody out there a very Merry Christmas. Today on the broadcast, we want to look back, because I think this is very important, on how the relationship with Israel, the Jewish state of Israel, has changed literally in just the last year, from the very from the Obama administration, which showed its true anti-Israel colors that we were so concerned about in its final days in office, when it let Israel be condemned as an illegal occupier by the, not just by the UN General Assembly, because we don't have a veto there, so we can't stop that. But it was the Obama administration, the first administration, I believe, in history that allowed an anti-Israel resolution to go through the UN Security Council, even though we're one of the five member states who could veto that move. So we're going to get into all of that and kind of compare how Israel was treated by the Obama administration versus how Israel has been treated by the Trump administration. And let's not forget, it is President Trump who is the first president in U.S. history. Going back decades, they've been authorized to recognize officially, the president by Congress has been authorized to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. And no president, Republican or Democrat, has had the guts or the fortitude to actually recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital. Seems kind of absurd, right? Even though they were told by Congress they have the right to do so. And yet, they did not, but President Trump did. So we're going to kind of walk back through this change that's happened really in just the last year between how Israel's been treated. But remember, too, the importance of Israel. I mean, this is a Christmas day to so many of us. We want to make sure that if we visit those Christian holy sites as well, which, by the way, Israel protects, that we can visit them safely and securely. So it's important to have the Israel in places like Jerusalem, their capital, because that's where many of those holy sites are, and they are protected. Though Israel is a Jewish state, they protect the Christian holy sites. They protect the Muslim holy sites to make sure those are safe as humanly possible with the amount of people that come. So again, on this Christmas day, I want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas. Thank you for your support of the American Center for Law and Justice. I know many of you who are listening right now are probably traveling in your cars or maybe in a new city. You may even just have tuned into this broadcast and are learning about the work at ACLJ. I'll tell you what's coming up on Jay Sekulow Life. We'll kind of explain what we do at the American Center for Law and Justice and specifically on the issue of Israel. We have an office in Jerusalem. And, you know, we're able to have that team in Jerusalem because of our support from our donors, so that we're able to have offices around the world, not just here in the United States, but we've got ACLJ Jerusalem that is in the heart of Jerusalem. So for us, it's very personal when the U.S. recognizes Jerusalem as Israel's capital. It's why our office is there. It's because that's where Israel's government is. But it's all because of you that we're able to have an office that looks over the old city of Jerusalem. It is because of you and your support for the work of the American Center for Law and Justice. And right now, if you're able to make a donation to the ACLJ, you are able to take part as we finish out this month with a few more days left in December, and your donation will be doubled for the American Center for Law and Justice. You go online to aclj.org, click Matching Challenge. Your donation is doubled. We appreciate that so we can prepare for the new year. Merry Christmas. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is now more important than ever. At the ACLJ, we're engaging a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're successfully challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. And we're defending Israel at the United Nations. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can participate online at aclj.org. Thank you very much for your support. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. As I explained that first part of the broadcast, but if you're just joining us, let me first say Merry Christmas to all of you who are listening today. If you're traveling with your friends and family, maybe you're heading to a Christmas holiday, depending on what time you're listening to the broadcast, but a Merry Christmas to you and your family. We are looking back right now, actually, on how Israel's treatment has changed since the very end of the Obama administration, really just in the last year or so, give or take a couple of months, to now with the Trump administration, who's finished out the year by recognizing finally Jerusalem as the capital of the Jewish state of Israel. We have an office in Jerusalem, so we're taking a look back on that and kind of an overview starting with the end of the Obama administration up to the Trump administration. Let's take a listen now.
We're giving you an analysis of the speech that Secretary Kerry just gave to the world on the Israel-Palestinian conflict. I want to play portions of those speeches for you. We'll get some of that sound up, especially some of the statements where Secretary Kerry says you cannot be both a Jewish state and a democratic state if Israel is going to claim access to Judea and Samaria. Let me go to Skip Ash, who's a senior counsel at the ACLJ in charge of our work internationally, but especially in Israel. He is also trained in international and national security issues and counterterrorism, and trained in Israel for this. So, Skip, your reaction to Secretary Kerry's comments here about Judea and Samaria being part of Israel, thus a Jewish and democratic state, are mutually exclusive in John Kerry's view.
But what he's saying is, effect, that if you have all these Arabs become part of Jerusalem or part of Israel, then they will, over time, outpopulate them. So what he's saying is you can't have a one-state solution for that reason. But that he has created a straw man. There are all sorts of opportunities for having a Palestinian state that does not include all of Judea and Samaria. He knows it, and he's just absolutely refusing to accept it or to argue that way.
All right, so you got we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. This is frontal attacks on Israel. And I want to get everybody's reaction that's listening to your thoughts on this, folks, at 1-800-684-3110. We're going to hear from David Benjamin, I think, in the next segment of the broadcast. We have him now. Great. Well, David, let's go right to Israel then and get your reaction. David Benjamin, senior counsel with the ACLJ, charge of our legal work in Israel, also a senior fellow at the Oxford Center for the Study of Law and Public Policy. David, your reaction to this.
Thanks, Jay. Well, I've just listened to the speech. Of course, it's not over yet. I'm seeing, right. I have the image here on TV. Let me say this, and you know, it's interesting. My mother was sitting in the other room, and I heard her sort of shouting out remarks. But we didn't say that. He doesn't get it. You know what Secretary Kerry here is saying is something that is out of touch with the Israeli political reality. He's essentially being paternalistic. He's saying even though Prime Minister Netanyahu has stood behind the two-state solution, he can't be trusted to bring that through. And look at all the elements in his coalition who are trying to derail that. And on the basis of that, you know, the idea that you can't rely on the Israeli government, okay, he has justified saying as a matter of conscience that Israel needs to be bashed up in the UN. We don't see the connection. We don't see what it has to do with, you know, in the realm of debate, it's legitimate what Secretary Kerry is saying. He can suggest, he can say what he thinks about the conflict, and what he's saying is entirely legitimate. But does that justify bashing up Israel in the UN? There's no, that's the part we didn't see any justification for.
Well, look, I completely concur, but I think the political, you've got a political ramification here that is monumental in scope. We're getting comments coming in on Facebook as well. We're getting calls coming in at 1-800-684-3110. As we get ready to take a comment on Facebook or a phone call, let me play this from John Kerry. This is, folks, this is how out of touch the administration is. Play number 27, please.
No American administration has done more for Israel's security than Barack Obama's.
Does anybody listening to this broadcast around the world believe a word of that? They just let Israel be condemned at the Security Council. Israel, according to that resolution, would have borders that are in some places 9 miles wide, indefensible. And, by the way, Jordan said this during the break. How would you feel, folks, about the Christian holy sites and some of the Jewish holy sites, including the Western Wall, being in the control of Hamas? Because that's really who runs the Palestinian Authority. Jordan, you mentioned that during the break.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the idea here, again, is that the Russians have come in to make a clear statement about, especially post-vote. Did we disagree with all 14 countries that voted yes? This includes Russia. That's right. Russia could have done even more. They could have vetoed.
Right.
But the fact that Russia has come out and said to Secretary of State Kerry that the U.S. should not set forth, as Secretary Kerry is doing as we speak right now, a formula which will inevitably disadvantage Israel in any negotiation. The U.S. must take steps now to unequivocally to the entire world that we will continue to stand by our ally Israel as it seeks to build a future of peace and safety, and this is important, as a Jewish state and all an equal member of the family of nations.
Yeah, because what Kerry is doing is putting this, it's as Skip said, it's a straw man. It's if you're going to have a portion of Judea and Samaria, you cannot be both Jewish and democratic. That completely misses the point. And by the way, you can be both Jewish and democratic and have a Palestinian population. So that's bogus as well. What are you hearing on Facebook?
Yeah, comments like that are coming in. Definitely a call on that as well. We'll take one comment just came in. I think it's an interesting topic from Paul. Said it seems like this administration at the last minute is trying to start a war.
Well, I'll tell you this. I think that this is, and I'm going to defer to our military folks about that. I'll go to Skip and I will go to David. But it certainly gives away the ability to negotiate under this resolution and now with Secretary Kerry, and it bootstraps the incoming Trump administration with 23 days left to go in this administration. They decide to do this move in the last moment, at the last minute. To put the Israelis in this kind of difficulty and so that you got the Russians saying don't do this? I mean, folks, think about this for a moment. The Russians are telling the United States don't do what Secretary Kerry just did. But let me go to Skip first, then David Benjamin. Skip, militarily, I mean, we can take a call as well. Let's take Elizabeth's call, Logan. Let's do that because that'll fit right in.
Elizabeth in Maryland, you're on the air.
Hey, Elizabeth, go ahead.
Hey. Hi, Jay. Thanks for taking my call, and I think you're wonderful.
Very kind. Thank you.
This is what I need to know. Can you tell me in, like, a paragraph exactly what each side wants? I know the Palestinians want their own state, and they want half of Israel as their capital. And I know Israel has no intention of...
it's a great question, Elizabeth. Here's my view. What the Palestinian Authority wants, especially the Hamas wing of that authority, is the destruction of Israel as a Jewish state. And we played Hannah Ashwari yesterday, who would not acknowledge that Israel has the right to exist as a Jewish state, by the way.
Well, what they're doing is they're trying to set up Israel by having declared these settlements to include the Jewish quarter of Jerusalem, to include the Western Wall, as being illegally occupied. They are now allowing the prosecutor at the International Criminal Court to be able to say, okay, well, that's a violation of international law, it's a violation of international humanitarian law, and therefore those are crimes that the International Criminal Court can prosecute. So they're looking for a way to draw Israel and Israelis before the International Criminal Court, and that would be catastrophic.
And we've been there on defending Israel in that position. David, your sense on that issue is, as far as, this, you know, and of course you're in Jerusalem, you live in Israel, you run our office in Jerusalem. Folks, again, we're not just talking about it, we're actually doing this stuff. What's your sense of this, David? How does this bode for a peace process?
Well, very simple. The Palestinians have now been told outright by the UN, with the US essentially supporting this position, that their position is 100% correct, that everything east of the 1967 lines belongs to them. It means that they are entirely justified in using whatever means possible. I mean, this is the way they will interpret it. Any means possible to prevent that. It justifies violence. It justifies continued international legal activity, or what we would call lawfare against Israel, because Israel is essentially a criminal. Israel has been delegitimized. Everything we've done east of the 1967 lines is now illegitimate. And that includes the Western Wall. That includes the Jewish Quarter of Jerusalem. That includes part of Israel, which is entirely integral to the country and are the soul of Israel. Not even to even mention the settlements. So why, if the Palestinians now have a statement like this from the UN, why would they actually be prepared to give any concessions? Because they're essentially, you know, there's no reason why they should. If Israel has no legal right whatsoever to this, what they now call occupied Palestinian territory.
Folks, let me tell you something. We are able to have the presence in Israel with a full office there in Jerusalem, which has now been recognized not only by Israel as the capital of Israel, but by the United States of America. And we thank President Trump and his administration for recognizing finally the capital of Israel as Jerusalem. The United States had not yet done that. The president was authorized to do that. They have been in the past by Congress, and no president, I mean, listen, Republican or Democrat, has made that move, though certainly the Obama administration took a much more anti-Israel stance and international institutions by the language they use and speeches that they use. But it is President Trump who ultimately actually recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. It's where our office is, and is why we're able to do the work we do, is because of your support to the ACLJ. We have a matching challenge right now, even on this Christmas holiday. You're able to take part in that by going online to aclj.org. If you make an online donation today, your donation is doubled. $10 becomes $20, $20 becomes $40. There's no limit to that. We have a group who say if we hit our goal, we will match every donation, so your donation will be doubled. Go to aclj.org and donate now.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is now more important than ever. At the ACLJ, we're engaging a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're successfully challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. And we're defending Israel at the United Nations. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can participate online at aclj.org. Thank you very much for your support.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. Since the very end of the Obama administration, really just in the last year or so, give or take a couple of months, to now with the Trump administration, has finished out the year by recognizing finally Jerusalem as the capital of the Jewish state of Israel. We have an office in Jerusalem, so we're taking a look back on that and kind of an overview starting with the end of the Obama administration up to the Trump administration. Let's take a listen now.
So the United States is going to exercise its veto authority today over a resolution condemning basically the president's recognition of Jerusalem as the capital of the state of Israel. Joining us on the phone right now is our senior counsel in our ACLJ office for Jerusalem, and that is David Benjamin. David, let me ask you a question here. I'm going to ask this to both you and Skip, and we've touched on it, and that is, let's talk about the strategic significance and the international law significance of Israel's decision years ago that Jerusalem was going to be its capital. I mean, this is a nation state gets to decide it, but how strategic, how important is this move by the president to recognize Israel, and what do you think about this UN attempt to try to undo it?
Well, Jay, obviously it is a big deal because for 20 years now, the American administration has put off recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and moving its embassy to Israel. On the other hand, it's actually confirming what is essentially a trivial fact, that it is undisputed that at least parts of Jerusalem are undeniably parts of Israel, and that at least, at the very least, at a minimalistic interpretation, Israel is entitled to make its capital in at least part of Jerusalem, and that is an attitude which is accepted even by the Palestinian Authority itself. So there's nothing, no real news here. It's just, as the president actually pointed out, confirming a fact. And in fact, I think it's inconceivable, and no one has actually ever thought otherwise, that in a final status settlement between Israel and the Palestinians, any other result than Jerusalem being recognized as the capital of Israel wouldn't actually be on the table. And the Palestinians recognize that themselves. And the president was so careful to point out that the announcement doesn't prejudice potential concessions or movements of borders within Jerusalem.
No, that's between the parties. I mean, the United States, I think the president's got the right tack, which is recognize Jerusalem as the capital, and then let the parties negotiate, if they ever can get to the table again, and negotiate the direct parameters out. Skip, this we've got a call. I think it's worth taking because it ties right into this, and that is Luke on line three. Logan, let's take
all right,
that call.
Luke in Montana, line three, you're on the air.
Hey, Luke, go ahead.
Thank you, brothers, and Merry Christmas to you.
Yep.
The UN seems to be influenced more each year by the Organization of Islamic States, and the UK, France, and Germany also seem to be heavily influenced by their growing Muslim populations.
Well, look, first of all, it's France and England said they are going to join and support this resolution, which would be condemning what the president has done and what Israel, of course, has done by recognizing Jerusalem as its capital. So we already know that two of the P5 are already saying, hey, we don't care what the president did, but they're going to be vetoed. I mean, the difference is you got a president that'll do the veto here. Harry?
Absolutely. So I think it's important to note that in the world of political correctness, countries like Great Britain and France generally are prepared to give in. They are prepared to give in to Islamic pressure, both within their country, but also externally, in part because it's driven by commercial and economic considerations. The United States, on the other hand, is prepared to stand on principle. And so the real question is whether or not the status of Jerusalem is up for grabs, or is Jerusalem a non-negotiable current reality? And I think President Trump's decision simply recognizes that Jerusalem's status is non-negotiable from the perspective of the United States. Clearly, this opens the door for Israel and the Palestinians to negotiate a settlement down the road. But as for now, Jerusalem's status is non-negotiable.
What, Skip, what would you add to that on the Jerusalem front?
I would add this. It seems to me that the UN has taken successive steps to recognize the West Bank and the Gaza Strip and East Jerusalem as so-called Palestinian territories. They have never been Palestinian territories. So they are stepping in to declare as a given what has never been decided in fact. And when one looks historically and looks at the customary international law principle, again, of uti possidetis iuris, that territory came under the sovereignty of Israel as the only state that came into existence in 1948. Therefore, you have the UN interfering already in negotiations, and therefore the United States is right to try to level the playing field and to make things fair again in the international realm.
Well, look, I think the president's move on Jerusalem by recognizing what is already a fact, and that is that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, was not only a bold move and the right move, but David Benjamin, you said this. Previous administrations have all talked about it, but none of them have done it. So I actually think this encourages negotiations because it took an issue off the table as far as the overall concept of Jerusalem being the capital of Israel. And now the parties, if they decide to negotiate, can negotiate. What's been the reaction with the Israeli government, but also populace? What's your sense of it, David?
Well, I think everyone is really happy about it. Of course, if there was any debate at all, it was about the timing, not about the principle. Everybody accepts Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. And the huge hypocrisy involved here by the countries who are voting or supporting this resolution in the Security Council is really, really very clear. As a de facto matter of fact, all countries in the world, almost all countries of the world, have recognized at least part of Jerusalem as being the legitimate capital of Israel. May I stress that even Sadat, the president of Egypt, he visited the Knesset, the Parliament of Israel, which is situated in Jerusalem, and addressed the Knesset then. Of course, all world leaders who come to Israel de facto visit Jerusalem because it is a de facto capital and it is de facto recognized as such.
Well, I think that's exactly correct. So let me lay out for everybody what's going to happen. So this afternoon, we expect this resolution to be put forward by Egypt, which raises a question. We know that Egypt, David, has a very good working relationship with Israel on security matters and all this. And sometimes I think that some of these countries are doing this more for a political show than for reality. What's your sense of that?
Yes, absolutely. They are locked into a certain narrative, which they're not at liberty to change so quickly. But one has to stress that there's a big difference between what one hears in public, above the table, so to speak, as opposed to what one can actually hear in private conversations or conversations under the table.
Yeah, I have had conversations with Egyptians, people involved with the Egyptian political life. And Skip, I think it's fair to say that the relationship between Israel and Egypt is probably the best it's ever been.
Well, I think so, too. I think Egypt recognizes that ISIS and Al-Qaeda and these Salafist groups within Egypt are a danger to Egyptian society, especially in the Sinai. So they need cooperation with Israel, and Egypt and Israel are cooperating. Now, they can't do it too openly, but they are actually cooperating where it counts at the tactical level.
I'll tell you something. We are able to have the presence in Israel with a full office there in Jerusalem, which has now been recognized not only by Israel as the capital of Israel, but by the United States of America. And we thank President Trump and his administration for recognizing, finally, the capital of Israel as Jerusalem. It is why we're able to do the work we do is because of your support to the ACLJ. We have a matching challenge right now. Even on this Christmas holiday, you're able to take part in that by going online to aclj.org. If you make an online donation today, your donation is doubled. $10 becomes $20. $20 becomes $40. There's no limit to that. We have a group who say if we hit our goal, we will match every donation, so your donation will be doubled. Go to aclj.org and donate now.
The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is now more important than ever, and we could not do it without your generous support. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255, or you can participate online at aclj.org. Thank you very much for your support.
We were
on Twitter asking you this question. How important to you is our nation's support of the state of Israel, the Jewish state of Israel? And we want you to participate that at hashtag Israel. Also, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Let me reintroduce everybody. We've got a unique situation today. We're actually filming later today in our media center a documentary in a roundtable about Israel that will be released next year. But since our team was here, we thought, hey, let's get everybody on radio and TV today. So in our studios with us are Ambassador Rami Levy. Rami and I have worked together since 2002. So a long time, almost over 15 years, we've worked together. David Benjamin is our senior counsel in our office in Jerusalem. We've worked together now, David, how many years? 5 years?
Since 2009.
Stuart Roth, who I've been working with since the first day of law school, 400 years ago. And Jordan, who I... is responsible for his birth in part. So there we go. Which means, well, I mean, I don't want to take all the credit. Your mother gets a lot of the credit. Yeah. Anyways, so we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. It's on Israel, and that's the issue we're talking about. Let's go ahead and take a phone call. People have been waiting. Again, we'll take your calls at 800-684-3110.
Yeah, Bill's calling in from New York online, too. Bill, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill.
Good morning and blessings. Shalom to our Israeli brothers. And I just want to state this, go back to the forensic, economics of this issue. You know, the United States says, if these are our taxpayers' dollars, and I know that it's a non-transparent pit where our money goes into, but why, as taxpayers, why are we not making moves with the ACLG? Why are we not making moves to stop the funding? And then, the Bible talks about in Ephesians 5, to know your enemy. Yep. We will know our enemy if the funding still can. And then with a POTUS 45, a guy like him, we would be aggressive to take the fight to our enemies.
Well, let me tell you what we do know. I mean, it's a great question, Bill. So we know the exact amount of money that's going to these. So this is what they call it, by the way. And this is why you got to be so careful. They call it strategic framework. And this is, you want the exact number? $18,124,000. Now, that is going to the Palestinian Authority's strategic framework to basically, which means 20-something percent of that's coming from the United States. See, it's not a huge number in our U.S. budget or U.N. budget, but it's, $3, $4 million of U.S. taxpayer dollars going to the Palestinian Authority so they can then litigate against Israel, which we're defending. So we're taking our money, giving it to the Palestinian Authority, David, so that they can sue, so that we can then respond, except we don't get to see the document they filed.
You know, the big irony, Jay, is that I've never had the impression that the Palestinians are lacking for funds to carry out lawfare.
Right.
So this is just a bonus for them. The other thing I'd like to point out is that, now if there really is a Hamas-Fatah reconciliation, and both of them are going to be part of the Palestinian government, then money going to the Palestinian government, your tax dollars, so to speak, will be potentially going to Hamas too, who are partners in that government.
So, and that's to the tune of $250 million to $500 million a year could well be going to Hamas. Now, we talked about the phrase lawfare, and some of you may not know what that is. That is utilizing the legal system. It's a form of warfare. Utilizing the legal system to delegitimize your enemy. In this particular case, to delegitimize the state of Israel. And we have written about it. We have argued it. We have done cases on it. We just won a case in the U.S. District Court. A big case. Went on, a 200-page complaint filed against a lot of pro-Israel groups, Israeli foundations, Israeli businesses. We defended the Gush Etzion Foundation, was successful in federal court. But, Stuart, the battle goes to federal court. Well, even on this.
Yeah, the battle went to federal court. We've been in federal court. We've been at the International Criminal Court. Cases are continually being brought against Israel.
I'll tell you something. We are able to have the presence in Israel with a full office there in Jerusalem, which has now been recognized not only by Israel as the capital of Israel, but by the United States of America. And we thank President Trump and his administration for recognizing finally, the capital of Israel as Jerusalem. And is why we're able to do the work we do is because of your support to the ACLJ. We have a matching challenge right now. Even on this Christmas holiday, you're able to take part in that by going online to aclj.org. If you make an online donation today, your donation is doubled. $10 becomes $20. $20 becomes $40. There's no limit to that. We have a group who say if we hit our goal, we will match every donation. So your donation will be doubled. Go to aclj.org and donate now.
The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is now more important than ever. At the ACLJ, we're engaging a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're successfully challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. And we're defending Israel at the United Nations. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can participate online at aclj.org. Thank you very much for your support. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the broadcast. So we've got a unique situation in studio today. We've got two of our leaders from our office in Jerusalem, Ambassador Rami Levy, who's our director general, and David Benjamin, senior counsel for our office in Jerusalem. I wanted to go, and it's a question I'm asking our audience, and we want you to comment on this. How important is it for you, our audience, that the United States supports Israel? We want to hear from you on that. You can call us at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. You can also post your comments on Facebook and Twitter. But again, if you want to talk to us, 800-684-3110. Let me go to Rami, to you on this, because you were Ministry of Tourism, served in the military. You've served in various ambassadorial posts. So you've been a diplomat. How important is the support of the United States and the faith community for Israel?
Well, I want to say that the survival of Israel is dependent on the support of the United States, but also we need to remember that the state of Israel is very important for the United States. If you look at the Middle East region and the stability of Israel as a democratic country and a country that has the same values that the U.S. has, Israel is a kind of an aircraft carrier for the U.S. Israel develops a lot of technology, missile technology, intelligence that it collects that helps the United States as well. So I think the friendship and the bond is forever and important to both countries.
David, from your perspective, what do you look at the biggest geopolitical challenge right now facing the state of Israel? If you were to look at the big, I mean, there's a lot of challenges. What do you think is the biggest geopolitical challenge?
I think in one word, it would be Iran. Mm. Iran. And just to back up what Rami said, Israel is at the front line facing Iran. And Iran, just remember, the great Satan is America, not Israel.
Right.
Israel is just a stepping stone on the way. Sure. It's what Iran's doing, an incredibly destabilizing, destructive force in the Middle East.
How present is Iran in the region right now, as far as what you've been able to determine?
Well, the troubling development of recent months, years, is that Iran is steadily building up its force in Syria. It's importing Shiite militias there. It's bringing people in actually to live there. People criticize Israeli settlements, but actually Iran has been resettling people into these areas to try and to create a dominance. We have a very substantial presence of the Iranian Revolutionary Guards in Syria. This is a major, very troubling development.
Yeah,
and it's one of those issues. You know, as ISIS suffers more and more losses on the battlefield, though we still experience their terror internationally, Iran, though that benefits the United States, it also does benefit Iran and the, and those Revolutionary Guard who are there backing up the Assad government. And that was one of the key issues where the Obama administration, I go back to this, who would not engage, remember the red line, and it's because they could not get their hands around, okay, but if this, then this, and if not this, then that, instead of saying, listen, you got to start with one, okay, we got to get rid of ISIS. That is still being done, but it's almost done. I mean, on the battlefield, there will still be ISIS, I believe, the terror network, for probably many years to come. But then the next question is, what happens with, does the U.S. just say, okay, that we've done this in Syria, but now Iran has gone from propping up Assad to, as David said, putting the Revolutionary Guard in place. And then, of course, we saw in Lebanon a prime minister leave because of Iranian influence. And, of course, through Hezbollah, has left, could not govern, was not safe. So you write down, Yemen, Lebanon, Syria, and Iraq right now are being colonized by Iran.
And we've looked at this, Stuart, we've looked at it from our domestic standpoint, out of our offices in Washington and our work in New York, that the Iranian threat, I mean, we've written a book about it, is significant and growing.
Well, absolutely. And I think where Iran's threat is really troubling, and Rami and David could speak to this, is their support for Hezbollah. And Hezbollah is a real threat, much more of a threat than Hamas because of their military capabilities. And now Hezbollah pretty much has an entire country to operate in, and it's called Lebanon. Right. And that's unfortunate because you have Lebanon, you have Syria under the Iranian stranglehold, and they can all import all of this sophisticated military weapons. And of course, Iran now has all the money and resources and ability to create all of these advanced weaponry and go straight into Lebanon, right on the border with Israel.
So, Rami, when you look at that, you and I have been up to that, and you've been there many times, but I've been with you on the northern border with Lebanon. How, following up on what Stuart said, how big of a threat is the situation in Lebanon right now? It's being destabilized, obviously, but how big of a threat is that for Israel?
Well, if you remember, in 2006, when I was still an ambassador for the Israeli government, I called you and told you that we need your help with the State Department and with the President of the United States in order to stop the travel warning.
Yep.
The travel warning was because a few Zilzal missiles, which are able to reach Tel Aviv, were put into, declared actually by Hezbollah, they're going to shoot into Tel Aviv. At the time, Hezbollah had 15,000 missiles. Today, they have 150,000 missiles.
Wow.
Not just missiles.
Well, I want everybody to hear that again. 15,000 10 years ago, basically. 100 and how many now?
150,000 now, but not just missiles. They have GPS systems on some of them, on dozens of them. That means they can hit within a few yards away from a target that they're aiming at. So it could be strategic facilities such as electricity, facilities or military bases, etc. The other problem that we're facing is that Hezbollah has put tens of thousands of missiles inside homes in different villages in southern Lebanon, which, again, we can go back to what we faced in Gaza and talk about the lawfare that they're trying to prevent Israel from hitting this missile.
Yep.
So the threat from Hezbollah is huge. I want to add one more thing about Iran and Yemen. One of the things that we have to understand, Iran's big plan is also to stop the oil from flowing into the West. They're taking over Yemen through the Houthis in order to block Bab al-Mandeb, port, and to stop the oil flowing from Saudi Arabia to the West. So if we look at going back to Lebanon, Israel, in the next war, will have to face 150,000 missiles targeted at its civilians. I want to share with you one thing that is personal. My father just had a stroke a few weeks ago. What I've done in his home, I had to build a bomb shelter inside the house, a room that became a bomb shelter, because now he cannot. And we know that the next war is going, the cities of Tel Aviv and the major cities in Israel are going to be bombarded.
I want to ask this to David, because some following up with both Stuart and Rami said, and that is Hamas and Hezbollah will utilize civilian homes, schools, and hospitals as rocket launching points. Then if you were to counter that by trying to knock those rocket points out, Israel gets accused of committing a war crime.
Well, my contention is that lawfare begins on the battlefield in that way. Yep. It's a win-win tactic for Hamas, Hezbollah. Use civilians as human shields. On the one hand, it's likely to deter attacks. On the other hand, if attacks take place, inevitably they have to take place. Israel has to defend itself. We're talking about a scenario where 1,500 missiles a day fall on Israeli population centers. Israel will have to defend it in a massive and very rapid way. Not sure how much time there will be to even warn civilians in that scenario. Actually, a catastrophe that I hope we will never have to see. And of course, yes, at the end of the day, there's benefit to be had by Hamas, Hezbollah, to blame Israel for the civilian casualties.
Yep.
Yeah, one thing I want to add is that a lot of our audience has heard us speak about Hamas, and we've had various different engagements Israel has with Hamas in the Gaza war. But Hezbollah is a different type of enemy, because Hamas had very primitive, and they have very primitive...
Yeah, they were not an army.
Yeah,
not the same extent.
Yes,
yeah.
Missiles and weaponry compared to Hezbollah. Hezbollah has very sophisticated weapons coming in from Iran, a free flow of weaponry, and very sophisticated. So it will be a totally different war, and it will really threaten Israel significantly, all its high population centers.
I mean, Jordan has experienced firsthand, I mean, what it's like when a rocket's coming in. I mean, you've experienced it.
Yeah, you were in a shelter.
we were in a car. Benjamin Netanyahu, you were in a car. Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah, and that was at a time, again, when the rockets were much smaller. So we know that since that time period, the rocket power, it's not just the amount of rockets, it's the range, it's the impact they can have. They are more sophisticated. They are certainly from Iran. I mean, at one point, these were rockets that, you know, after they had been exploded, you could hold up in your arms. That is not the case anymore, necessarily. I mean, these are now much more long range. Tel Aviv being in range, Jerusalem in range. Those were short range. We were right on the border with the Gaza Strip. So, again, and then you combine what Hamas has to then what Rami's talking about with what Hezbollah has, and you have now the entire state of Israel covered by short range military weapons. So, yes, nuclear is a big long-term threat, but the short-term threat is that a nation which has got all these countries and terror groups pointing missiles at them. And we can't really fully ever understand what that is like as Americans, even with the terror that we experience here in our own country.
All right, we're going to be back with your calls in the last segment of the broadcast. 1-800-684-3110. How important is it to you that the United States stand with Israel? 800-684-3110. Also, don't forget, we're in a matching challenge campaign. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ helps us all over the world. We get a matching gift for it. ACLJ.org. Back with more in a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulo reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com.
The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is now more important than ever. At the ACLJ, we're engaging a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're successfully challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. And we're defending Israel at the United Nations. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can participate online at aclj.org. Thank you very much for your support.
We've got our experts from Israel here in our studio. Let's go ahead and take a phone call.
Yeah, Paul's calling in from North Carolina on line one. Paul, welcome to JSEC Yo Live.
Oh, hi, how are y'all doing today?
Good, sir.
Yeah, I called because I saw the live feed, so I called because you said you wanted. I think personally, it's very important that we keep our stand with backing Israel, because I'm an average watcher and I've been watching the news and I actually read the resolutions and it's almost like the entire UN just decided to go ahead and say, okay, yeah, we need to get rid of Israel or something. It's like, it's ridiculous.
More anti-UN resolutions on Israel than all other resolutions combined. And you got some of the world leading dictators and humanitarian human rights abusers in the world sitting on the Human Rights Council. So, I mean, this is one of the issues that continues to happen.
Yeah, I mean, listen to U.S. Ambassador to the UN, Nikki Haley, make this exact point, bite number eight.
I went to Israel to see firsthand the country the United Nations spends half its time on. Unfortunately, I'm not kidding. It's ridiculous. It seems like the rough breakdown at the UN is half the time on Israel and half the time on the other 192 countries.
I mean, there you have it. I mean, this is the absurd nature of what we're dealing with. Stuart, you're shaking your head. We've actually counted the resolutions.
Well, you look at some of these countries that are on the Human Rights Council that are governing it and passing resolutions against Israel. Those countries are systematically abusing their citizens and have done so since their origin for decades and decades, denying them rights, denying them free speech, denying them all sorts of humanitarian aid. But yet they'll pass a resolution on Israel because they don't like the fact that Israel built a community outside of Jerusalem while they are executing their own people for practicing their own religion if it's different than Islam. It's unbelievable.
You know, David, we talked about the International Criminal Court in The Hague and the impact that has had. And as I said, we were successful in the first major round on that with a lot of legal work by lawyers. We got a team from all over the world. But your concern is that, again, while we're still working on it, folks, when you're not hearing about it, because you're concerned that the direction of the ICC, and that's part of the United Nations body, is a concern for Israel and should be a concern for anybody that looks at due process or fairness.
Well, one of the concerns flows from the fact that the ICC is often criticized for concentrating on Africa. Most of the defendants are coming from Africa. And so maybe there'll be a motivation to kind of balance that out and look for a possible target outside, even if only to satisfy the critics. Now, of course, I think it's quite obviously the lowest hanging fruit outside of that part of the world is Israel. It's an easy target. It's cost-free. You can attack Israel. You can criticize Israel. You can bash Israel. It's totally cost-free.
Yeah.
And it has all sorts of political benefits.
So what we're having to do is continue. As I said, we've got three major projects going on right this moment. I mean, we are handling them right now. And basically responding to documents you're not even seeing. But we know generally what they're going to argue, so we're able to do it. All right, you want to take another call?
Yeah, we can take another call. But I think, you know, it's important to make the point. It was long and often said that Israel's on the front line of the terrorism that wants to attack the U.S. And then now we're experiencing a lot of that terrorism here in our own country as the sophistication of these terror networks has grown. But Israel's still very much on the actual front line. I mean, Syria, where ISIS is based, is bordering Israel. It's not bordering the United States of America. But Israel is also on the front line now, I'd say, this part two of this, with Iran. And though it's always been with Hezbollah to some extent, it's at a totally different level now with this nuclearized Iran. I know our president is working on the decertification process, but that is going to take a big change in the international community to come around and start re-sanctioning Iran to prevent their nuclear program from coming into existence. We can take another call. Ron in Missouri on line two. Ron, welcome to JSEC Yo Live.
Hey, Ron, you're on the air.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
It's actually Maryland.
Okay. Sorry about that.
Maryland. It's okay. Yeah, so just continue your support of Israel. That's an important country that God is protecting. it's going to stay there. It's not going to be right. defeated or brought down. We can see the miracles that have God's worked with that country. The six-day war.
I always say Israelis tend to like their wars 6 days, maybe 13, longer than that. No, don't like wars, but if you're going to have them, you know, we don't like, the Israelis tend to not like 15-year wars. But the fact of the matter is, the Israelis have been in a almost, Rami, it's fair to say, there's almost a constant, it's not a declared war, but there's almost this sense of a constant state of war.
We call it the war between wars, which
yeah.
is a constant.
A war between wars. Yes. Yeah, we can explore that when we do our documentary. That's an interesting concept. In other words, you're never not in a situation, David, where you don't have the luxury of not thinking that there could be a military engagement at any moment.
At any moment. Yeah. Literally that volatile.
Yeah. All right, let's grab one more call here if we can, Jordan.
John in Washington State on line 5. John, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hey, John, go ahead. You're on the air.
I just want to let you know how important it is, my wife and I, that the U.S. and you folks in the ACLJ support Israel and whatever needs that they have. God bless you all.
Oh, John, that's very kind. And I will tell you this. It's been our pleasure to do this, working along with Rami now for, I would say, over 15 years. And Rami said at the beginning of the broadcast, a lot of you just joined but late, but I think it's important to restate it, Rami, that the work that we're doing, it's ongoing. We don't talk about it every day, but literally there's work going on every single day. I'd venture to say that at any given time, we have 3 to 4 lawyers domestically, in addition to you, David, and Rami on the government side, constantly working on this, because there's always something to do. But the you've expressed to our members, to our donors, the appreciation that the Israeli government, the Israeli people have had for our ongoing efforts these past decades.
Yes, and I'll say it again, you know, from an Israel decision maker's perspective, if it's the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Ministry of Justice, Prime Minister's Office, the work ACLJ has been doing in the past years has helped the Israeli economy survive. And that's when we go back to 2002 when I met you first, 2006 during the Lebanon War, when you helped take off the travel warning.
Yep.
2009, when we started fighting the
ICC, yep.
et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, if I'll try to simplify and translate the work that ACLJ is doing for Israel, I can tell you I have 2 sons in elite units in the military.
Yep.
And the fact that they can fight is a lot thanks to the work ACLJ has been doing with lawfare. The fact that they can defend themselves and their citizens is thanks to the ACLJ. The fact that Israel in the international arena does a lot of the things it does is a lot thanks to the work ACLJ has been doing.
Folks, let me tell you something. We are able to have the presence in Israel with a full office there in Jerusalem, which has now been recognized not only by Israel as the capital of Israel, but by the United States of America. And we thank President Trump and his administration for recognizing finally, the capital of Israel as Jerusalem. Even on this Christmas holiday, you're able to take part in that by going online to aclj.org. If you make an online donation today, your donation is doubled. $10 becomes $20, $20 becomes $40. There's no limit to that. We have a group who say if we hit our goal, we will match every donation, so your donation will be doubled. Go to aclj.org and donate now.
The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is now more important than ever, and we could not do it without your generous support. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255, or you can participate online at aclj.org. Thank you very much for your support.